Hi everyone, and welcome back to the What Archer Said podcast, where we share our candid conversations about life, love, and everything in between. My name is Winning, and as always, I'm joined by my three lovely Archers. Ate Anne.
Hi.
It's a Starbucks.
Yeah. It's a Starbucks.
Ate Loy.
Hello.
Ate Audrey.
Hello.
Love it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start today's podcast by recapping our little holiday.
Oh, yes.
For those who haven't checked out the Instagram, we went to a little like country town in Victoria.
Yes. Called Aline.
Near Meredith.
Aline. And there was just a little private estate for us. There was about, 30 people. We all went as one big family and had a really great time.
It was so much fun. What were your highlights?
Oh, you all looked at me. What was my highlight? I think just like spending time with the fam. Mm,
yeah.
And I was telling Jerome that it was genuinely a bonding experience because like I found it fun that I was like jumping in the pool with the little kidlets and they were holding my hand and it was really cute. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I think the spa was like the best thing ever.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
I thought for me, on the Saturday night, was it, when we got a bit litty?
Oh, litty committee. Yes.
There was our pajama night.
Yeah, our pajama night. So we had matching pajamas.
Yes.
For, what was it, pajama party for our little cousin's
birthday.
We shopped them all. Yeah, we did. Cottage 3 won.
Cottage 3.
And we had matching pajamas. And afterwards, we had a little bit of an after party.
A little.
Yes, a little.
A little.
And there was just a moment where I was just sitting on the couch and I saw like all of the people, all of us dancing around. And I was like, damn, this moment, I hope I can capture and bottle it.
Oh. You know what? That's, remember our last episode we talked about, you know, when was a time we felt lucky?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good, that was a time.
I think
I think also the spa was so fun for me. We spent like 3 hours. We did not care if we were pruny. We were just living our best life. And also I think the fire.
Oh, yes.
The fire was good.
That was and, the first time we had s'mores.
Yes. And we were all going around sharing like our highlight from the trip in one word.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. Like that moment was so, take me back.
Yeah. Sausages, what do you call it? Cooked from the fire.
Yes.
From the fire.
That was funny. Yes. Is it cooked? Because it was dark. It was pitch black. Yeah.
That was fun. So what about you, B? Specific moment?
I think just getting away. Mm. I feel like this was booked, at the beginning of the year?
Maybe
in October.
Yeah. The parents thought it up in December when their cruise got cancelled.
Right.
So then they were all like, let's all get away.
Yeah. And so we were looking forward to this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get there and it was literally just so serene, like there was little sheepies and cows and it was just so away from, you know.
So peaceful.
Yeah, the hustle and bustle that we're also used to. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
The next one is overseas, potentially.
Really?
Mm.
I heard 3 hours away. Oh, truth. Never know what goes on in this family.
Yeah, so much fun. Well, let's get into today's topic, which I'm really excited about because we're going to be talking about marriage counseling. Now, I haven't gone to marriage counseling, but I believe my three sisters have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that I'm super intrigued by because even before I got engaged, I was like, oh, I didn't know like pre-marriage counseling was a thing that people did. So I feel like this topic, even though if you're not engaged or you're not getting married soon, it'll be interesting.
If you can hear the little pitty patties, it's Bubba Runzi.
It's our favorite doggo.
Yes.
He's
our favorite co-host.
Yes. The fifth co-host.
Very adventurous today. So even for people who are, you know, not getting married anytime soon, but they're in a committed relationship or they're looking for, you know, their special person in this world, I feel like these type of questions and conversations will be useful for them as well. So I'm sure there'll be some really good tidbits in today's conversation. So let's get into it.
Let's get it. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling. Let's start with that. What is it?
That's a fair question to start. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Why do you do it? When do you do it? Who do you do it with? Just answer me all these questions.
Y'all are looking at me again.
You explained the best. I was trying to think of it in my head and I was like, it's when you go with your partner and you answer the questions.
But like, yeah, okay.
But like why? Okay, so why? Why? Yeah, why? Because like I didn't even know
that's
it was
why
a thing,
I'm
right?
looking at Annie because I can't explain properly. Oh,
maybe we'll start with the what. What is marriage counseling?
So someone you just go to and you have a conversation about your relationship.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and like really in-depth questions that you guys should be thinking about prior to going into this lifelong commitment mm-hmm. with each other.
What's mm-hmm. the? I guess what's the goal of it then?
I think the goal is to like have a mutual understanding of where you guys are at. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't or haven't discussed things yet, it's good to open the space and be able to like talk about it with someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there are a lot of questions that you might not necessarily ask each other all the time, especially when they are sort of the heavier questions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's stuff that can come up later in life and can be a real contention in your relationship. And if it's something that you can address beforehand, then, you know, you can create a sort of tighter bond, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get yourselves onto the same page
or
at least get closer to the same page.
Yeah.
If you're not on the same page yet.
So how do you go and like find a marriage counselor?
You ask Eloisa. That's what I did.
We found ours through our priest. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was a prerequisite.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of give you different options. Ours was a Catholic marriage counselor. However, the person that we went to wasn't necessarily, like, she wasn't religious.
Right.
So there's a lot of, if you Google it, there's a lot of different marriage counselors that you can go to and find the right person for you to discuss things with.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we found ours.
Right.
And you have to do it, I think, 6 months before you get married, at least. So your certificate has to be valid within that time.
Ooh. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that Eloise is just speaking in like in, for marriages that are under Catholicism, though. So for secular ones, it's kind of your own volition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there ones that are available to people who aren't religious?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I was looking around for one for a while because I just was curious and I thought it would be good to make sure that Andy and I have the same alignment of values. And I was looking for quite a while and then I heard Eloisa had found one and had good reviews, had good personal experience.
She
so I
was
went
a
to
hoot.
Them, even though it was a Catholic centered. Like institution and Andy and I are secular. So, but yeah, it was a good experience all in all.
So what are some of the questions?
So for the thing that you do beforehand is they give you a PDF of things that you can discuss before marriage counseling. So just like basic questions like upon like finances, your values, like children, if you want children in the future, religion,
your sex life.
And then you
even like that private ask.
Yeah.
So things that you can discuss together beforehand. And then you have another questionnaire, which is like
heaps of questions, like 100 plus questions.
Yeah. That you have to do separately. So you can't discuss the questions with your partner until you enter the marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what it's based upon. So then the marriage counselor will then go and have a look at your answers, and then we'll base the counseling on like things that you agree with and disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a, hey, this person said this in their test, what do you think?
Right.
They just encourage you to talk about it.
Right,
okay. So like, you can kind of tell if you disagree on things, however, they're not like pointing fingers at the other. Bless you, V. Bless you. Bless you.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
I wanted to give you guys some examples of some of the questions that they provide in the PDF, because when I saw them, they're questions that I have never even thought to ask Andy or have a discussion about. Because they're like things like parenting.
Mm.
When you're just getting together, for example, you do like say potentially I want kids or I don't want kids, but then the nitty gritty of it, you don't really speak about. So things like, what is your response to the statement? Parents should be friends with their children. Discuss. Those kind of things, you know?
Very specific.
Or questions like,
it's not very good pillow talk, is it?
No, it's not. And then even with this, the ones related to sex, discuss what you find sexually attractive about each other. You would never really, like for me personally, I would never really have a discussion with Andy where I'm like, hey, what's sexually attractive to you about me?
Mm.
Yeah. But so questions that really get into it and that you wouldn't typically ask your partner. But then you're speaking about it in like a mutual ground kind of thing. You have this objective party who brings you back to the topic. And if you don't answer that question,
they will
pick you up on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of like breaking that third wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I remember things like when I would say, I feel like, she was like, you don't feel like that. You feel it. Like as the wording of the way I worded things.
Like, you can't say you feel like, you say I feel.
Yeah.
Da da da.
Yes.
Like kind of like taking accountability for what you're saying and like sticking by that. If you feel that way, you should be able to take accountability for what you're saying and putting it out there, I guess.
Wow. Okay. So what are some of the questions that you personally were like really started that deeper conversation with your partner? What were some of those questions?
For me, mine was about getting married in general and having children. I never wanted to get married, and then I never wanted kids, and my thoughts shifted when I had met Arvin. Kind of shifted again, and I kind of went back and forth. So we pretty much discussed a lot about that and why I was so traumatized to get married and have kids in the future. It's something that Arvin and I have discussed about before, but it was really nice to recap on those things. It was a little bit scary at the start, because you're telling a complete stranger about like your past experiences and why you don't want to have kids. And but yeah, that was pretty much like the scariest bit for me, I guess.
Oh, you're looking at me again. I think mine was probably had to do well. Okay, so just to start off, from Jerome and my perspective, we definitely did have a Catholic ceremony. We had a priest there, but we actually were not, it wasn't mandatory for us to do counseling.
Oh, okay.
Did the priest counsel you a bit?
Yeah, counseled us a little bit. So I took it upon myself to say, hey, look, I think it's important that we do. So I looked for our own counselor, and she really focused on marriage counseling, but also just couples therapy in general. So a lot of our counseling involved a lot of dealing with also my underlying mental health issues. So one of the topics that was really confronting for me was just the infidelity portions and, you know, being honest within your relationship and things like that. yeah, again, because of past experiences mm-hmm. and trauma and things like that. And it was really eye-opening, because the way in which you speak to your partner, obviously when you're in the heat of the moment, is so different from when you break that third wall and then there's, for lack of a better word, an audience where you have to kind of take yourself back and reevaluate how you talk to that person and analyze what you're saying.
It's almost like you're speaking of the situation in third person, not first person.
Yeah. And it's really confronting when you realize, oh, I said this, and then you think, oh, wait, from a third perspective, that probably is really confronting to hear or to accept that someone's spoken to another person that way. So, yeah, that was the most confronting portion for me, I would say.
Audrey?
For me, it was just, why are you getting married?
Yeah, it's that question.
Yeah, the question, like, what's the difference between your relationship now? What do you hope to change, or if anything, when you get married? Andy and I were really stumped by that question.
Let's discuss now. Why do we get married? I mean, you know, back then marriage was literally a legal contract, right? And it still is, but I think there's less of the legality side of things now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm not married.
Yeah, like, it's not so much about the legality. It's
It's more of a symbolic thing now rather than I own you.
Yeah, and you hear about couples who have been together for so long and they just call each other wife and husband because that's what they feel. And people will say, I don't need a piece of paper to feel like I'm married to you because I already feel that way.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So then why go through it?
So why do it?
Yeah.
And then there's a, you know, bloody expensive wedding.
Potentially. Some people might just elope.
Yes, unless you're eloping, which is also an option.
Yeah. When with that question, just the answer that we came up with was, or I came up with, was that it kind of just like really reaffirms your commitment to that person. Not that you need a paper to do so, but for Andy and my values, that is the way that we show it.
And I guess at the end of the day, it all does really come down to your values and how you want to live your life. I'm guessing the counselor wouldn't say, like, you know, this is a good answer or a wrong answer.
No. Yes, you don't feel alienated. Yeah. Well, hopefully the counselor wouldn't make you feel alienated despite whatever answer you
give. Could you imagine if she was like, not good. I'll give it a C.
Well, that's the thing. Like, does the counselor ever say, like, I don't know, like, obviously there's no right or wrong, right? But is there, like, something doesn't sit right there, like.
I mean, my counselor would be like, I see that this is a good foundation of where you're going. And then if she wanted to explain further, she would. Or maybe she would say, like, this would be, like, great to discuss after. And she would give you the tools that you need to discuss it about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're not, like, they don't just glaze over it and they're like, oh, it doesn't look like they have the right values, so never mind. They just kind of give you the tools, like, in which you should discuss things about, I guess. But from my perspective, I saw it as Arvin and I are both Catholic, so to share that sacrament with a partner was really important to us. So I guess that's why we wanted to get married.
Okay. Well,
why do you want to get married, Vinny?
I don't know.
Like, does it just feel like it's like
free counseling right now?
it's like the life path that you kind of set. It's like the next chapter for whatever. That's the feeling, especially people our age.
Yeah,
like late 20s, early 30s.
Ugh. Yeah.
Because we see our peers also hit that chapter. It feels like it's the next chapter for us too. Not that you need to follow that path. You can pave your own path, but I wonder if that might be an element.
Maybe. Definitely, I think, actually, like to a certain percentage. But I think for me, it's like I want to celebrate our relationship and our love for each other. And there's literally no better way to do it than to do it through a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think, you know, celebrating your relationship. It's as what's the word I'm looking for? As self-absorbed as it sounds. This is the person that I love and I want to show everyone and everyone who has supported our relationship that, you know, this is us and this is what we're moving forward with. So I don't know. It's just a life event that I personally don't want to miss out on. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question actually about marriage counseling to bring it back. Do you think that there's a stigma around marriage counseling with the assumption that if you're going to marriage counseling, it's because your relationship is breaking down?
Yeah, well, that's what I initially thought, that even just the words like counseling, it's like, oh, you need counsel on something that's going wrong with your relationship. I had no idea that it was something that was just – someone there to guide conversations, really, right? Like it's not because something's going wrong with your relationship. You need someone else to fix it or whatever. But just someone, to open up those conversations. What do you guys think?
Yeah, there definitely is that misconception, I feel. And that's like with – that comes along with like the misconceptions that come along with mental health.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're kind of like in the same
– yeah.
Boat-ish.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with having a healthy mediation between the two of you.
And it might not even be reactive. It might be being proactive, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Or after experiencing it myself, understanding that there are questions that we haven't answered or that we've never even thought about. I think it's just good to have some helpful to have someone that can mediate those discussions or assist you. They're not going to give you the answer. They're not going to say, like you said, Eloisa, that's a C for me. They're not going to give you an A plus or anything. It's up to you guys to work through those questions yourselves and then decide for yourselves, because nobody's going to tell you whether your relationship is right or wrong other than you.
So this next question might be a little personal, so feel free to tap out. But if was there a question you came across that you and your partner's answers clashed or, you know, were different? How was it resolved? Like, how did the counselor sort of help with that conversation? Or were you kind of like all sort of on the same boat for all the questions?
For Arvin and I, one of the ones that we clashed on, and we both answered it the same way, which was how we resolve our arguments. We both said that we were worried about how the opposite party, deals with, arguments. And, that was something that we were really open to talking about because, I mean, we were given the opportunity, so why not use those tools and why not use a person that we have to ask those questions about? So we said, like, you know, it's really hard for us to, like, you know, I'm very vocal. Arvin's very, like, shy. So she pretty much just was, like, really open, and she said, it's good that you spoke about it and it's good that you're, like, open to speak about it here. And she kind of just guided us through, like, tools in which that we – like we can use. And she kind of used her own experience. She was like, for example, like my partner, sometimes I just need space and he doesn't understand that. So I'm really like vocal about I need space. And then you come back together and sit down and discuss properly when you both calm down. So she used that with us. And she also made us watch like a YouTube video twice about the different ways that people resolve conflict.
I was going to ask, is that video public?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say maybe we should add it to the show notes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It was really interesting to watch Because, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment and you're both arguing and you only see your view, which is what I really like am bad about. I only see my way or the highway. So to see kind of how Arvin kind of points out like, oh, I resolve my conflict in this way in the video. And then she made us watch it back. And I really focused on his way of resolving conflict. So it was nice to see it on his perspective and him to see it on mine, which I thought was really helpful. But yeah, it was really nice.
For me, I have two. One is a bit on Andy's personal issues himself, so I probably won't share that one. But second one is I get really antsy about Andy's phone use. So that was a particular area of contention for us. And the way that the counselor guided us through that conversation and how to deal with it in future confrontations was the way in which I communicate with Andy my frustrations about his phone use. So I think I've mentioned this previously, but the technique that she used was rather than saying you, just say I feel, like make it about how I feel rather than you've done this to me and you make me feel bad that you do this. If you pose it as I feel frustrated that while we eat dinner, there is not much interaction because the phone is out or something like that. Not say like really actively avoiding you, the word you.
Blaming.
And because it sounds like blaming. And then when we practiced it during the session itself, it was really hard not to say, because you do this. But I found, even actually outside of the counseling session, I actively used it a couple of times. And the end result from Andy was that he was more open to be to conversing, and he didn't feel like I was attacking him. Not well, actually, yeah, I was. So it's hard to do. But I found a lot of value in it, and that's not just about it. It's not going to be used only for like I'm annoyed at his phone use. It's going to be used for any confrontation, really. It's really hard to do. I told one of my friends that technique, I guess. And sometimes we'll be in our WhatsApp chat and we'll be trying to like make the sentence together so that we avoid you, because it's like it's really hard to do, especially in the moment.
Oh no, I was just gonna say our counselor said the exact same thing, like just taking out the blame and just to stop talking about what actually happened and add some more empathy within the scenario where you kind of open up your partner's eyes to how they've made you feel. And I think that's why that's a good reaction from Annie, that it's actually been helpful, because the counselor said it will add empathy back into the conversation. Yeah, it's a good point. I like that.
I like it too, but actually putting into practice is really hard. It's really hard. It's hard to not revert back to you. Sometimes I'm just in the corner waiting, like trying to make the sentence in my head so I can give it to Andy in the way that I want to.
You did mention that to me a while ago, and I feel like I've tried to implement it, you know, whenever we have a fight, but I've never been able to do it in the moment. It's always like after when you've like calmed down. So yeah, in the moment it would be really hard.
Mine is to have tea. So she said that, well, Arvin said that sometimes he gets a little bit sad when I tell him that I need space. And then when he's ready and he comes back to me, I ignore him. So one of our tips was to ask the person if they would like to have tea. And the lady said, you can never say no, even if you don't want tea. You have to say yes. So whenever we have a fight, he walks in the room, he's like, would you like tea? And all the times I've wanted to say no, but I've looked at him and I said, yes, I would love some tea. He would come back with tea and then we would discuss. So it's like a mutual understanding of, okay, like this is what you want from the other partner and this is what the other partner wants from you.
It's like a safe word.
Yeah.
Like a truce. Yeah, like a truce.
Yeah. I had a safe word in my counseling.
What was yours?
I think it was like monkey or pineapple. Pineapple.
Oh.
Pineapple.
I was like, pineapple.
What would happen when the safe word was said?
Oh, just like if things were, we were just going around in circles and it was frustrating me and I was verging on aggression as opposed to being in like an empathetic state of mind and I was reverting back to blaming.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, our issue wasn't so much a question. It was just a topic of dealing with each other's reactions. So I think when we get to the problem solving aspect, we're pretty good at that. Because we've taken out the anger, all of that, and we've reached a level of calm where we can converse. It's just the initial reactions is really bad for us because I'm very, I won't say explosive. I can get explosive, but, I'm the person that will want to talk about a scenario. And I understand now that sometimes there's a time and place to do that. But I'm a pusher. I'm a pusher, Katie.
I push people.
I want to talk about the issue because it's fresh on my mind. Whereas Jerome will kind of lean back and let me do all of the talking. And that to me shows he doesn't care. But then from what he had said, it was like, no, I do care. I'm just sitting back and allowing you to talk. But I was like, but for you to show me that you do care, I want to have a reciprocated conversation.
I think we've got the same.
Yeah, Arvin and Jerome are twins. Bloody souls. So that was our point of contention. It was more of the reactions and things like that. I'm getting fired up just thinking of that.
Pineapple.
Pineapple.
Okay, so I think that's a really good, like, question in terms of how do you like de-escalate problems and talk through your conflicts with your partner. What other questions do you think would be really useful for people out there who, you know, not necessarily getting married or are engaged, but even people who are in a committed relationship, what sort of questions do you think they could be having with their partner that might be useful in their relationship that they obviously might not be talking about, you know, in their day to day, but something that would be like, oh, I've never really thought about that.
I think definitely like your personal values. Like, how are you going to ask, hey, babe, what are your values? You know, it's hard, but it's really important to discuss that because it's kind of like an umbrella of
it is, yeah.
What you're like your understanding and your values of finances, the values that you want to bring, if you want to have kids one day, your religious values, your sex life, you know? So it's an umbrella of everything. So I think that it's super important to speak about your values and have a mutual understanding. It doesn't have to be the same, but just an understanding of like what your partner's values are and if they coincide and, so yeah, I think that's super important.
I'm not sure if I guess it's useful, but it might not always be implemented. But it was definitely a question that kind of like took me aback. Was what would you do in scenarios where you've lost a family member, or what would you do in a family crisis? And yeah, that really shocked me. And I think it's useful in the sense that it's an eye-opening question, more so. Because those things, hopefully, knock on wood, are a little far and few between.
But they're inevitable.
Yeah, but they're inevitable. Or there are families that, you know, these things might regularly occur. And so just what you would expect or what you would prefer for your partner to do in scenarios like that, where you can get involved, where to just kind of fall behind and perhaps just be an emotional support. That was really eye-opening because, I think especially now, Jerome and I are having more of those conversations. And I'm glad that we had that conversation open up to us in counseling, because I don't know how we would have dealt with it now.
When it happened, yeah.
Mm, when it did happen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, especially because, you know, everyone deals with grief differently.
Yes.
And needs support in different ways. And when you're in that stressful environment already, the last thing you want to do is do something that triggers your partner even further.
So
that is a really important conversation.
I'm going to refer to the PDF that was provided to us by the counseling. I selected a few. So one relates to finance, because I think that finance can be a point of contention for couples.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One question is, which one is true for you and why? Spend it, save it, enjoy it, share it. I feel like that kind of touches on spending habits. For parenting, what are the most important values that your child will learn from you or that you want to pass down? I won't do a sexuality one because I already provide one. For a spiritual one, how important is a belief in God for you? For technology, do you have any boundaries about what you post online? Discuss what these might be. And extended family, how important is family to you? Because I think family can also be a point of contention. Well, all of those can be a point of contention.
Yeah, and I think it's important that conversations are nuanced. Like, you don't just say, how important is family to you? And your conversation ends up, family is important. Like, the conversation can't end there. It needs to be, you know, why is it important?
Yeah.
When are the times you want, like, you show or you show that you value family? Because the ways that you show that you value family might be different to your partner. And if they don't align, then some of your actions might be interpreted by your partner as, oh, that person doesn't value family. You know what I mean? Like, so really talk through, you know, your actions rather than just what you believe in.
Agree. I think it's really important for, look, it might not be for everyone. However, I've had friends that have been together for a really long time and aren't even planning on getting married, but they've done marriage counseling in the past. So I think it's a really good preparation step. And even, if you've been with your partner for a long time, I think Bobby just farted. Can confirm. I think it's something really special and important to do.
Yeah, because even if you choose to not get married and not have that symbolic reasoning or that certificate or that celebration, at the end of the day, like, your friends who have been together long term but don't intend on getting married, that's a lifelong partner.
Yeah, they're still committed to each other.
These are still lifelong issues.
Yeah. It's life counseling as well, rather than just marriage.
Relationship life counseling.
Yes.
Do you think, Vinny, that you'll go to marriage counseling after this? Right after.
Gotta go.
But do you think that you might actively look for one, or you're still on the fence?
No, I think definitely. I think hearing your experience with it has definitely put it on my radar. And we have like sort of had conversations about some of the questions that might be in that PDF. But it would be good for someone to be able to sort of steer that conversation for us in the direction that it needs to go for it to be productive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am really looking forward to it.
I think it's nice because you get to know your partner on another level sometimes at a point, I think. I want to go again.
What have you guys learned from your partner in the experience?
I've learned to understand him with more empathy. I think that my reaction and what I want from him does not match the way that he deals with conflict. So I need to adjust a bit more.
Well, what do you think, like it has to be a two-way street, is it like something that he's gone and said, that's also how my partner reacts, so I need to
just like how I learned that the way that I react doesn't align with his, he also needs to has learned that
yeah
my reaction, you know.
Yeah, and now there's middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least an understanding that if there is times of conflict, that we will be able to come back together more calm. Like, we all need to resolve it then and there. That's worked for our relationship. I know other relationships are not like that. Mm-hmm. They want to resolve it then and there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone's looking at me. I've kind of learned how supportive Arvin is. He is supportive, but sometimes when you talk about things when I talk about things with Arvin, if he's just like, oh yeah, I reckon, he really is thinking about it and he's supportive. That's all.
He's a hoot.
I think for me, just like you would, you know, we try as best as we can to check in with our friends as much as possible, regardless, I always say irregardless, and Jerome's like, that's not proper grammar. Regardless of...
Making up words.
Yeah, I'm making up words, Jerome. Regardless of if they seem to be going through something, I too want to apply that to my partner. I live with my partner. I see them as much as possible daily. So sometimes you think that you know them so well, but that mental check-in is good for them too.
That's a great point. I'm going to do that later.
Yeah, because I've learned that I don't want for us to reach a point of contention or for us to reach an argument to then have those empathetic conversations. Mm. And I want to practice that theory daily where I can and have those check-ins with my partner.
Nice.
That's one that we were talking about as well, as checking with your partner. So she gave us steps to so when he comes home or when I come home, we have to hug for a minute and really check in with each other.
Oh,
and
dear Lord.
It's hard, but it's nice because it's not just a pass by. How was your day? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
We really
Yeah.
Talk more about, instead of the general, what did you eat for lunch?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that. It's a really nice, it's a wrap up of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And spending 5 minutes before we go to bed with no phones, just us talking and recapping on how we feel and reconnecting.
Yeah.
Was really very special.
We were really guilty of that too. Before counseling, we would always just be like, oh, how was your day? Yeah, good. If something eventful happened, then we would explain. But now, and I'm still really guilty of it now, and Jerome picks up on it, we'll come home and he's like, how's your day? And I'll be like, oh yeah, good. And sometimes I'm such a brat, I'll forget to ask him in return. And he'll be like, oh yeah, my day was good. I'm like, oh shit, sorry. And then just asking, and then even if it's not eventful, we'll just talk about it. Yeah, because there's nothing worse than when like I said, I don't want to reach a point where something bad happens and then we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, such and such happened at work and I'm having an issue. And I'm like, wait, I didn't know about any of this. So it's nice to have those little check-ins.
Yeah.
And practice that.
She also said it's not just about words, it's also about touch.
Oh.
So checking in your partner with touch.
That's why it's
so hugging for a minute. Say, how was your day?
Yeah.
I think as a couple, you'd be lying if you said you're checking in with your partner all the time. I feel like it's something that I'm definitely aware of it now. It's how are you is something you don't really ask your partner.
Yeah.
Because you're just with them every day and you assume that you're physically with them every day, you know everything about them.
But
you really don't. Yeah. And so definitely ask your partner, how are you, actually? Not just from what I see you doing, but, deep down.
Exactly.
It's going to push me to do it today.
Yeah.
I haven't done it for a while.
Well, there's been so many cases where I've been driving and I've had, road rage, right? And then I've just kept it to myself. And then later on, Jerome's done the most menial thing and I've snapped at him. And it's because I've been aggro during the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't like expressed that or gotten that energy out of me. And I've taken it out on poor Jerome.
Oh, yes, pineapple. I'm very guilty of that too.
Pineapple. But yeah, it's good practice.
It is.
It's good.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
that's your partner.
How are you, Artis?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Everyone's.
Yeah. And queers, how are you guys?
Yeah.
Touch your partners.
With consent.
Okay, so this has been a very interesting conversation. Like I said, I was very intrigued at the beginning. And I hope all our listeners got something out of it. If you guys want to check out the link in our description, we'll leave a link to that video that Aloysa mentioned earlier about, you know, resolving conflict with your partner. And if there's any other questions that you want more information about, any of the questions that we've mentioned in our little secret PDF, feel free to DM us and we'll have a conversation. Thanks again for listening. Catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.